just heard the ladies play through number 170. What a difference one day can make. The one day that you come to know Christ as your Savior, the one day He comes back again. We look forward to that day. Welcome to Stanley Heights Baptist Church. So glad you're here. Let's stand and sing number 170. Let's sing about that one day.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord evermore. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sins far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day.
What a great thought that the Lord Jesus is coming. Well, if you are a guest for the first time, we have for you a Connection Point booklet. It's a guide to your time here. It'll tell you about us. It's yours to keep. If you'll do this, raise your hand. When the ushers pass by you, just hold up your hand. They'll give you your copy. We would ask you if you would just complete the guest card that's with it. Put it in the offering basket or offering box, rather. You'll see to your right or behind you, or hand it to one of the ushers on your way out. And you can expect a thank you note from us thanking you for being our guest here at Stanley Heights Baptist Church. Let me just make a few announcements for you. Of course, this is Labor Day weekend, and so I hope you're having a great weekend, and I hope you have a great day tomorrow. Enjoy the holiday. I know it'll be great. I trust it will. A couple other things you want to know about: that Daily Bread and Our Days of Praise, those devotional booklets are available for you in the front or the side foyer. Either of those are available to you to have for your own time with God. I want to also remind you that next Lord's Day, we will celebrate our church anniversary during the adult Bible class hour, kids Sunday school hour. We will have breakfast in the gymnasium. So you can, we're looking forward to that. And then if you'll notice, there is a sign up list. If you'll sign up in the foyer, make sure you do that so our deacons can be prepared for you. Now tonight is a testimony service, and This is tonight specifically a scripture testimony. Now, you can share a scripture that is meaningful to you. You can share why it's meaningful. You can just share the scripture and let the scriptures be their own testimony to us. And so we'll have two different sections for you to do it later on in the service. I hope you have yours ready to bless others and honor the Lord. So we'll ask the Lord to lead in it even as we pray in a few minutes. Other things, I'll let you note those things in your bulletin on your own. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then after that, we will sing. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are together tonight, and for each one that made being with your people in your house a priority tonight. And I thank you for it. I pray you would truly bless and honor those honors as we've come, because we've come in your name. We've come anticipating. We've come yielded to the Holy Spirit and asking that you would guide in our time together. And we're looking forward to the way that your word has ministered to your people, and that we as your people will share that as a blessing to one another. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you will do in our time together here. And then we ask for you to help, even as in the coming week, we will go to all the places we will go. You'll send each one of us to the place you have for us. There are people in our path. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us enabling power to share with them and to bless them and give them the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all of these things. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Turn to number 190. We'll thank the Lord for the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us. Number 190, are you washed in the blood?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Hope that is your testimony tonight, that you can rejoice in being washed. Then we turn to a song that reminds us just the wonder that God loves you and me, that such a wonderful God would leave heaven, come down here to offer up His life for you and for me. Number 65, we'll sing together, The Wonder of It All.
There's the wonder of sunset at evening, the wonder at sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. There's the wonder time and harvest. The sky, the stars, the sun. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is a wonder that's only begun. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. The wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me.
I mentioned earlier and how you've seen in your bulletin, we've talked about it a couple weeks about our scripture testimonies. We're going to do, we'll do a couple times of this. We'll do this side of the church first, and then we'll do the second side, this side of the church the second time later on in the service. So let me remind you again, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to just let you know, you can just read the scriptures that God has spoken to you and worked in your life through. I hope you have your Bible ready, your phone ready, your iPad, whatever you use. I hope you have it ready to go. And you can just share the scripture and let the scriptures be their own testimony. Or if you have a word to say about how that scripture is ministered to you, that's wonderful as well. But this is part of the life of a church body, to minister to one another in a way that we don't normally get to do, but it's a blessing when we do. So let's do. We're going to start with this side. Don't hold back. If you have a word to share, make sure you just, let's do it. Wave your hand so Pastor Alexander can find you and see you easily. And let's see, who's going to start us out? Brother Ron?
One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And oh, how wonderful the mercy of God and his pardon is for all of us, undeserving. And so we can be so thankful for everything that he's brought into our lives, and especially, though, our salvation. And so we want to return to him continually with all of our ways, giving our wickedness to him, and asking forgiveness and confessing, and then also our thought life, which can destroy us and cause such harm. And he's there ready to pardon. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Who else on this side? Just raise your hand and Pastor Ed will find you.
Great encouragement to me these past months. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. All right, sir.
I started something several years ago that I know I've shared with some of you. I take a passage of scripture for study for the entire year. So a chapter, my chapter this year was Philippians 4, and I've memorized that. But something that's been different this year, at least once a week, I've prayed that chapter for my church family. So after each verse, just thought about who the Lord called to mind, and prayed for those things. As a, for instance, verse 7, but the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I prayed for that peace for Ty and Karen and Jim Good and Marissa and Hannah. And just at least once a week, just gone through that passage and prayed for the people in my church family that God called to mind.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Who's next? Yes, ma'am.
2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I have experienced fear in the last couple of years, and also need his power and his love and I need him to give me a sound mind. I don't know if I've ever had one.
Thank you. All right. Who's next? Right, give that hand. Make sure you... We don't want to miss anybody. Yes, sir.
My wife and I had the privilege of attending the 50th anniversary for Falls Baptist Church up in Milwaukee. Excuse my voice. This is my brother-in-law's church. It was planted back in 1974 by evangelist Dave Barba, who's from Memphis, Tennessee. And you can imagine him going up to Milwaukee, known as the graveyard of Baptist churches. And he was at a point where early in the ministry there where he was really discouraged, and he just was crying out to the Lord for a verse. And so he's on his way to the radio station where he did a weekly broadcast, and he just said, "Lord, give me a verse." And so he's driving his little VW Bug and opens up his Bible on the steering wheel there. And God led him to Psalm 84:11, which says, if I can say it, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And it's really neat because that has become, over the years, the church's theme verse.
That's neat. Thank you, sir. Wonderful. All right. Ma'am?
1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received unto glory." Amen.
Amen. All right. Who's next? If you have one, make sure you wave him down, because it's hard to see. It really is. Okay. All right. With that said, we're going to receive our offering. Brother Beneke, would you please come and do our missionary highlights?
We want to remember especially this evening Ed and Mary Frampton, part of our church. It's busy, busy, busy in all kinds of ministries all around the world. But one thing he is very proud of, oh, he loves that many, I think a couple hundred of the Jewish families, Jewish people right over there in Gaza, were replaced, put into another situation. And so he's been able to help those displaced families to be able to get into new homes, new places to live with their families, and that's such a wonderful thing. But it took the organization of several organizations and everything, and so they're working together with many of them to do that. If anyone wants to give, they can give toward that cause. Just see Brother Brad, he's here, and he even takes charge cards. No, I don't know if he does or not. but if you have not been out to IBJM to visit the museum, oh, you are missing such a great blessing. There's about 12 stations out there in the museum, and every one of them is so fantastic, wonderfully done. And you think you know a little about the Bible, but you know nothing when you go through that museum. You go, wow, I didn't know. Wow, amazing. And they have one special section, a big one for the Holocaust. And then another one, they have a room that is duplicated. What's her name? Corrie ten Boom Room. And there's only two places in the world that you can find that exact duplication. And that is the one over across the sea somewhere. And then the one at IBJM. And if you look at the movie, you will see that The Hiding Place, it's called. You'll see that room exactly duplicated in the museum. It's amazing. Took months and months to put it all together, and it's done so much quality. Believe me, you can bring anyone, friends, relatives, you know, from out, and they will love it, absolutely. And all you have to do is call and arrange a tour. Brother Brad Blanton is there to be able to take you through and share with you all of those wonderful things over there in the museum. So I'd like to mention that. But let's be praying for Ed and Mary Frampton. And then also Brandon and Alicia Knight, and they do need a building. They're growing and guys and gals are getting saved and people are getting excited for the Lord, so they need a place. And so be praying for that, if you would. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And oh, how we do pray for these families, the Framptons and the Knights. Bless them mightily, Lord. And we pray that their outreach might be blessed in such a way that the Holy Spirit would touch hearts and lives and bring many to the Lord Jesus Christ. May many be saved and many brought back into fellowship with the Lord and walk the rest of their lives with you. We pray, O Lord, that we might be the witnesses that we need to be to our sphere of influence here in Chattanooga and the tri-state area, and then with our lost loved ones and friends around the world. We pray, Lord, then that this week we would look for that divine appointment that you arrange, that we might be able to talk to someone and not be afraid and not be shy, but in the power of the Spirit and the boldness of the Spirit, witness and present Christ, that they might be hear the truth. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Abigail. Well, I did want to, and I will do this in just a minute and pray about the basketball outreach tonight, and it's a wonderful outreach. And so I hope you'll be in prayer for these men that come and are part of it, and our guys as they minister to the men that come. So I want you to know about that, and we do want to pray for that. And then also remember, and I did not mention this earlier, and that the biblical ethics truth that we're learning this month is about a very significant area in our day and time, and it's the ethics of moral purity, that as a disciple of Jesus set apart to please him, the will of God for me is to be morally pure in mind and body. It's just something wonderful and powerful about knowing and experiencing moral purity in an impure world. And so I want to remind you about that. I want to want to take a moment and pray for this basketball outreach. Then we're going to have the folks on this side share your testimonies from the scriptures. So let me pray, and then we'll have our scripture testimonies. Lord, we ask for you to work in this basketball outreach. And as the men will come tonight, I pray you give our guys boldness as they share their lives and build these relationships, but boldness to witness for Christ. You would open the hearts of these men as they come. And Lord, in all of our endeavors in faith, we ask that as the gospel is shared in every outreach endeavor that we do corporately as a body, that we do individually, that you open doors, as Brother Ron prayed for us just a few moments ago. We ask, Lord, for your enabling power, and ask that you would open hearts for Jesus' sake. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, who on this side has your scripture testimony ready to go? Pastor Alexander will come by and just make sure you flag him down. All right. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So this verse I learned while helping in Good News Club. And I felt like several aspects of it was, again, reiterated in the Sunday morning service and in Sunday school. You think about all the books that are written out there, that are written by people that are imperfect. And you know that the books are going to be, there's going to be error in those books. But there's one book that we know that's written by our perfect, holy God, and that's God's Word. And so I'm reminded of that fact with this verse. And also, I think because it's like our standard of truth that was mentioned. And I love being able to have the confidence in that in a changing world that we have today. And how long does God's Word last? It lasts how long? Forever.
Forever.
Yes. And so that reminded me of that. And then I also thought about recently a face painting. And I remember being asked to face paint many years ago, and I said, me? No way, I can't draw. And they train you a little bit, and even though I still can't draw today, I really can't, but I'm reminded of this verse because, you know, the painting on that face, they go to bed, they wipe their head against the pillow, it's all gone within 24 hours. Yet the scripture that is shared lasts for eternity. Hmm. And again, how long does God's word last?
Forever.
Yes. And then I'm thinking about the fall festival that's coming up, and a lot of you guys have helped out with that. If you've never helped out with the fall festival, this year's your year to do it, because I know there's like maybe balloons and candy and games, and it's going to be gospel bracelets. And these gospel bracelets is a lot easier for me to do because it doesn't require any drawing, and you just take those beads and you put them on the cord and share the gospel. So you think about this bracelet, it may get torn up, it may get lost within a year or so. However, the scripture that you share lasts for eternity, because how long does God's word last?
Forever.
And personally, when I think of sharing one-on-one with face painting and with the gospel bracelets, it's one-on-one with a person. And you get to share with that person the most important decision, you know, and the most important decision I have ever made. All right, so you may be thinking, what is that verse? And you probably already know. And I like to use props for this verse as well. You look outside and you see how hot and dry it's been, and you look at the grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands again. How long does God's word last?
Forever.
Yes.
All right, thank you. All right, who's next? Sir.
I've always liked Romans 3:20, where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." And there's just so much comfort in the thought that Jesus is always wanting to be with us and to spend time with us.
Amen. Thank you. Wonderful. All right, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
Recently, I heard a preacher preach on Jeremiah 29:11, which is a very well-known verse. For I know my, thus saith the Lord, for I know my thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But as living in the world that we're in today, with all of the just the craziness, you know, whether it's political or thought ideals out there, and just all of that, sometimes my mother's heart gets a little concerned for my children. And you kind of start to think, is there any hope? And this particular preacher was encouraging to keep that verse in context. And you talked about it this morning. It's in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He's not delivering good news. And he's telling the people, your country is going to be destroyed. It's rotten inside, and it's going to be destroyed from the outside. And you are going to face hard things. And in the midst of that, he gives this wonderful message, and he tells the people, but build you houses and get married and have children and live this life that I've given you. And then he, at this part, after all of that, he says, for I know the thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you can draw a lot of parallels. I realize we're not the nation of Israel. But God's sovereign plan, founded in eternity, does not change. And we're still a part of that. And I hear young people sometimes, you know, you just talk to a couple that was engaged, and they're like, but we're not going to have any children when we get married. I wouldn't want to bring a child into this world. But they're a Christian couple. And I thought, but you of all people have more reason than anyone. You have a God that's bigger, and he has great plans. And I think whenever I start to get a little overwhelmed, I think of that verse, and it's been a comfort just any time a political ad comes on.
If you didn't get that reference, it's Jeremiah 29:11. Ma'am.
I've been encouraged to pray prayers from the Bible from a book I read a few years ago. I think it's by Carson, and it was talking about praying the prayers of Paul. And since that time, the Lord has given me a couple of Paul's prayers that I specifically like to pray. First of all, it was for my children that I was praying. But then afterwards, it became more so where it stretched out to friends, family, church family, that sort of thing. So the reference of one of those, the one I'm going to read tonight, is Colossians 1, 9 through 11. And it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it," and what they heard of, this is an aside here, what Paul had heard of was their faith and their love. So it says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." And excuse me, that was actually Colossians 1, 9 through 12, not 9 through 11. I've been thankful multiple times when I just don't know what to pray. The Lord directs my thinking and just straight from his word, and it's a tremendous blessing.
Amen. Thank you so much. All right, who's next over there? All right, I'm not going to hold you long. Okay. All right, Pastor Ed, he's going to lead us in our next song. It is 461. 461, "He Leadeth Me," and Pastor Alexander is going to lead us in singing. Why don't you go ahead and stand while he's getting his book?
We'll sing together, 461.
"He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me."
On that second stanza there, notice that our job is not to complain. Our job is not to basically argue with God, not to murmur or repine, but content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. We can trust God wherever he leads us, even as the third stanza says, when our task on earth is done, we can continue to trust his leading. Sing it on the second and then the third verse.
"Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace a victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not fling, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me."
Thank you. Please be seated.
Well, I'm going to share with you my scripture testimony. It's Psalm 24. I'm going to invite you to go with me to Psalm 24.
Psalm 24. And I, not knowing, of course, what happens on these nights, and some nights it goes long, some nights it goes shorter, and so I'm not doing the book of the Revelation, but I want to share with you a psalm that ministered to my heart just the other day, and I noted it in my journal, and I'm going to just bring some thoughts that came out of my journal, and I wrote some additional things in my journal. Now, Psalm 22, 23, and 24 form a trilogy of songs. And each of them speak of Jesus. Psalm 22 is the suffering psalm. It pictures Jesus on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalm begins. And the psalmist is singing in this psalm what Jesus said from the cross. And then Psalm 23 is the shepherd's psalm, whereas the suffering psalm tells of the redemption in Christ Jesus, the shepherd psalm tells of the relationship with Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then the 24th psalm is the final psalm of this trilogy. It is the sovereign psalm. This presents Jesus as the king. And it tells of the time and prophesies of the time when Jesus will one day reign as king on the earth. There are three stanzas in the song, and each of them identifies the Lord in a different way. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and I'll read through the entirety of the psalm. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O God, or O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And he ends his psalm with the word Selah. Now, my own time with God, I've been working through the book of Ezekiel. Now, I have to tell you, Ezekiel is not an easy book to work through, and I've been working through it very slowly. I feel like I'm just slogging through. And really, I sat down to open my Bible, and I thought, oh, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm ready to face Ezekiel this morning. I said, Lord, I could really use something that would encourage me and lift my heart. And so I went to Psalm 23 and Psalm 24 and read these two psalms. And believe me, I was so glad I did. I really was glad I didn't have to face Ezekiel that morning. Now I'll get back to Ezekiel, but boy, it lifted my heart. And when I came to the 24th psalm, I'll give you just a few thoughts that come from it. The psalm, and someday maybe I'll preach through the 24th psalm, but not tonight. But the psalm begins with the Lord as king in creation. We read, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And I was encouraged because it just reminds me how great God is. And I need to be reminded again and again and again how great God is. And then the second part of the song, the second stanza of the song, tells about the Lord as the giver of blessing. And there are these two questions that are asked. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? The question is for those who are coming to worship the Lord and to spend time in fellowship with God. In his tabernacle, David would not have had access to the temple. It hasn't been built yet. His son Solomon built it. But the tabernacle where men meets with God and men dwell in the presence of God. And David describes the people that come into the presence of God. And then he answers the two questions that he has. Keep reading in verse 4. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Who are the people that come into the Lord's presence and know his fellowship? Because as I sat in my chair, that's what I want. I wanted to be in the Lord's fellowship. And the answer is, he that hath clean hands. You know, there are some people that have dirty hands who are involved in dirty deeds. And a person that spends and knows the fellowship of God and enjoys his presence are people that come and their hands are clean. And then beside clean hands, there's the person that the psalmist describes as a person with a pure heart, who's authentic and real. There is not a life of hypocrisy or duplicity. This is the person that is the real deal. Imperfect, absolutely. Authentic, yes. And he tells us more about this person. You'll read in your Bible, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity. So this is a person that is not wasting their life in things that do not matter and pleasing themselves, empty things, but also has not sworn deceitfully. A person doesn't lie, who doesn't manipulate, half-truths, nothing to hide. This is a person that knows the transformational reality of fellowship with God in their life is that person. The person they are is this life. And this is the person that spends time in fellowship with God. And I went through this psalm, and this became for me a time of self-evaluation. Lord, am I this kind of a man? Am I a man with pure hands, a clean heart? Am I a man of integrity? Am I a man who is not wasting my life in things that are empty? What a wonderful thought. It was challenging as I spent time with the Lord the other day around this psalm. But then the Bible tells us what the Lord does for those that come into his presence. And the Bible says in verse 5 that he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Oh, I love the blessing of righteousness. That righteousness is imputed in Christ because of Christ, my righteousness placed on him by faith when he died for me. And his righteousness, when I put my trust in Christ, placed on me. And his righteousness is placed on my account so that I stand before him not in my own righteousness, which is never adequate, but in the righteousness of Christ. Imputed righteousness. But oh, the power of practical righteousness. And I think about the scripture that we are... I just thought about the scriptures, of course, on moral purity. And the truth we're learning about biblical ethics and moral purity. And there's something so powerful about a person that before God is morally pure in mind and body. And this is a gift that comes from God. And righteousness in any area of your life, when you know you are right before God and you are doing the right thing, there's something powerful that is intangible, but you wouldn't want to trade it for anything. Righteousness. But what really troubled me, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm talking to the Lord about this, is verse 5 when this psalmist begins, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. And I looked around and I said, Lord, I'm not sure if I'm getting much blessing from you. I mean, those intangibles are so wonderful, but, you know, I'd like some tangible blessings. How many of you know what I mean? Some tangible blessings. You know what I mean? And I thought about it, and I thought, you know, it just seems to me that there are an awful lot of people that do not have clean hands nor pure hearts, who are deceitful. And I looked at that, and I said, now, Lord, you said that people that are this person are the ones whom to whom you give blessing. And I said, Lord, it just doesn't seem to me that you're doing right here on some matters. And I'm not being, please, in my time with God, I was not being disrespectful or self-serving. I was just pouring my heart out to the Lord. Except that by faith, you trust that God, in His way and His time, will truly bring His blessing. And whatever that means or doesn't mean, content to ascend into the hill of the Lord and to spend time with Him in His holy place, and content to clean up your hands and purify your heart, content to deal with the issues on the inside and trusting God to provide everything else on the outside. And then he ends this part of his psalm with, this is the generation of them that seek him and seek thy face, O Jacob. And so it is that whatever else is happening, either way, we seek the Lord. And then the last strophe of this song is verse 7, it goes through verse 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? And this is like an antiphonal choir. Sometime if I preach on this, I'll tell you about how this was used in the Old Testament in different places. It's an antiphonal choir, and you've got the chorus asking this question. And then you have the other choir answering back, pounding strongly proclaiming forth an answer to the question, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And then you hear the chorus again. Can you imagine them? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? And the psalmist ends, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And God is described in both of these when Jesus will one day come, and he will come to the earth, and he will enter into the city of Jerusalem, and there he will reign. This psalm will be sung. As we enter into the millennium, it'll be joyful. The Lord of hosts there, the God of armies, the God who fights for us, the Lord that is a warrior, that is our God in battle. And may I remind you that the King of glory is still the God that fights for you. And he is mighty in the battle. And as you go through and I go through the struggles of life and the challenges of life, the unanswered, the unanswered questions, don't ever forget that God is the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, that fights for you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can I get an amen? There you go. It's Stanley Heights. If you ask for it, you'll get it. Let's stand together. I'm going to close this in prayer. Thank you, God, that you are the Lord of hosts. We praise you that you are a God that is concerned for us, and not just concerned, but the God that will work and is working on behalf of your saints. Now, there are your people that are in the midst of a spiritual battle. All of us are, really, all of us are. But there, for some of us, I would imagine, in our congregation, there are some that are in very intense times of battle. And the world and the flesh and the devil are against them. Your spirit is drawing them. Your truth is guiding them. And I pray that you would prove yourself to them as the Lord of hosts who fights for us. I pray you would prove as the Lord who is strong and mighty, mighty in battle. May it be that we are the generation that seeks after you, each of us in our generation. that comes to you, to your holy hill and your presence. Reveal to us when we are coming with an impure heart, dirty hands. Show us, Lord, the reality of ourselves, that we may be in fellowship with you and forsake our way. And Lord, it is our prayer that you would prove yourself strong. I pray you would do that for our people as they go this week into the mission field to which you've called them. Give wisdom and power and enabling, for we know you're able, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. God's blessings as you go. Thank you for joining us. Jesus said to those who believed on him in John chapter 8, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We join our God in desiring that you will know the liberating power of the truth of God's word as you apply it to your life. We would love to hear from you and find out what God is doing in your life. You can go to our website, stanleyheights.org. There you can contact us with your prayer requests. You can ask a question. You can find a free resource to study the Bible as a guide in your journey. You can get other sermons and other free resources that are available for you. While we're talking, may I ask you this question? Have you made the most important decision of your life to turn to Jesus Christ and receive him by faith to be your personal Savior? Oh, if you haven't, would you do so right now? And if you would like some more guidance in that decision, you can go to our website, stanleyheights.org/eternity, and you'll find some help that will guide you in that decision. Again, thank you for joining us. I'll look forward to hearing from you soon.